Before we get in the Word, I want to just refer you to the cute little bookmark in your bulletin. Just as a reminder, for a while now we've been reading the Scripture together, but we're launching something a little bit different focus beginning today, and that is we're going to be reading through the book of Luke from now all the way through Easter. And so we would really appreciate and enjoy everyone joining into that so we can be listening to God together, hearing what he is saying, watching his mission unfold. And I think it'll be a great opportunity for us to be in step with each other in the Spirit as we're in the Scripture. Something I want to just point out. So we're beginning today, and maybe you've already noticed, but if you look at the bookmark, you'll see yesterday, today, and tomorrow the same text referred to. And so part of what we're going to be doing is reading through Luke. The readings are a little bit smaller. And then over the weekend, we're going to be staying in the same text, the text for the Sunday worship time. And we'll read the text in three different translations, which is always a good opportunity to see a different perspective or hear different language. But just an opportunity for us to stay in the text for the weekend longer together. So if you want to join us, we'd love for you to sign up, let us know that you want to be on the email, or just follow the bookmark with us. It's going to be awesome. Don't want to miss out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that is living and active, that transforms us, that reveals you, and Lord, just gives us the life that we long for in Christ. And now as we come to your word, speak to us, Father. Help us to know you, to know ourselves, to be changed, to serve you. Amen. So what are you waiting for? What are you looking forward to? As I thought about that a little bit this week, it seems like I've gone through my life waiting. When I was a kid, I was waiting to be able to go to school like my brother and sister. And then I was waiting to graduate from high school so I could go to college. And then I was waiting to get out of college so I could get a job so that I could get married. Had to get a job before I got married. And then after married, I was waiting to have kids. And then I was waiting for the kids to get into school. And then I was waiting for the kids to graduate from high school and go to college. Then I was waiting for them to get out of college and get a job, right? Now I'm waiting for them to get married, and that's begun. So now we're waiting for grandchildren, and, you know, it just goes on. I mean, life can be waiting for one stage or one event to another, to another, to another. And I think there's a lot of similarities to that in the same way that through history, God's people have been waiting for God's mission to unfold. Each chapter, each event, each thing that was transpiring in the mission of God as it unfolded. That in Old Testament times, there were people waiting expectantly for Israel's Savior to come because God had said he was coming. And so our text today from Luke 2 is two of those people, Simeon and Anna, who were waiting with great expectation for God's mission to unfold before them through the Christ. And he did. At Christmas, we joined into this waiting and we celebrated the coming or the advent of Christ. And as we go through Luke's gospel, we'll see who this Messiah is, who this Christ is, unfold as his mission becomes more clear and what the mission of Christ really is all about. But Christ's birth was just the new beginning, right? It wasn't the end. And so our waiting continues. His mission continues, and so does our waiting, which will culminate in Christ's second coming, his second advent, which is what we're ultimately waiting for. There's a text in Titus 2, verse 11 to 13 that kind of pulls all this together, I think. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He's referring to Christ. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're waiting. Christ has come, and we're still waiting until he returns. So we're waiting expectantly for God's mission to unfold before us each and every day. But are God's people still waiting like Simeon and Anna? What are you and I really waiting for? It's a really important question. Because we can assume God's mission will just happen without us, and if he needs us, he'll give us a call. You know, hey, Ralph, I need you for this. But otherwise, it'll just keep unfolding without us. Or we may think that we don't have much of a part in this unfolding mission because, you know, we got jobs and dogs and houses and all these things that fill our lives, and so I don't have much availability to the mission, so it's not really something that involves me all that much. And I think that can go along with the belief that God, well, he mainly works through those real gifted people, you know, the people in the church who do those things and have the time for that. And so I'll just keep waiting, do my thing, and keep waiting until I go to heaven. But just, I mean, if you just think about that, Christ has come. God is with us all through his Holy Spirit. His kingdom is unfolding. It's moving towards this great advent of Christ coming again. And God's only going to have a few people involved in that? Right? I don't think so. I don't think so. We are all to be waiting expectantly for God's mission to unfold before each of us every day. And Simeon and Anna give us a great example of how we can wait expectantly, what that looks like for us in our day-to-day lives. Now, let's start with the setting because it's a little confusing, but the text is partially to show us how Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. In fact, Luke says that in verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. So part of this is to show us that Jesus was fulfilling the law like any Jew. So it begins with his circumcision, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So we know on the eighth day, a male child would be circumcised, and at that point, he would be given his formal name, which the angel had already given them. So that's what this is referring to. But it goes on to refer to a couple other things that are happening here. Women were unclean for 40 days after childbirth, which meant they couldn't participate in temple life and community life. After that 40 days period, which was called the time of purification, she could offer a lamb and a pigeon as a sacrifice to atone for her uncleanness and be restored to community. So that's part of what's happening. They had waited, Jesus had been circumcised, but after 40 days total, they were able then to go to the temple in Jerusalem and have these sacrifices offered. The other thing happening here is that the firstborn male was always offered to God, kind of like Samuel was. And then he would be purchased back with another offering. So they're killing two birds with one stone, by traveling to Jerusalem to take care of these two things, offering the sacrifice for the period of purification for her, and then also to offer Jesus to the Lord and then to purchase him back with the offering. That's why they're there. And so they're showing up in the temple, in the court of women, because Mary is there and Anna, and they meet Simeon and Anna to offer these sacrifices. But let's learn from them how we wait then. What does it look like to be waiting for God's mission to unfold for us? The first thing that's so clear in this text is that we're waiting to hear God's voice. Simeon was devoted to God, full of the Holy Spirit, it says, expectantly waiting for Israel's comfort, we're told. God had told him that he would see the Messiah before he died, and so he was watching and waiting. Verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, we're not told how God spoke to him. We just know that God did through the Holy Spirit. And it was convincing and clear enough that he had built his whole life around this word from God, that God had said this was going to happen, and so he was waiting. His whole life was built around it, because after he sees Christ and the revelation is there, he says, okay, Lord, I'm done now. You can take me. My life is fulfilled because of what you told me I would see before I died. So the Spirit led him into the temple courts, and he comes upon Joseph and Mary, and the Spirit makes it very clear to him that this is the one he's been waiting for. How else would he know? So God spoke to him years before about what was going to take place. The Spirit prompts him, leads him to go into the temple, directs him to Joseph and Mary. And then he prophesies. He gives thanks and prophesies, which is basically just speaking for God, words that God had told him. So Simeon is a man who was hearing God's voice consistently. Now Anna, the same thing. After her husband's death, she dedicated herself to fasting and prayer in the temple, it tells us. And she's 84 years old. Hopefully we're still worshiping in the temple when we're 84, or at least for me. So verse 36, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, just so you know that. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She's a prophetess, which means she too spoke for God, words that God spoke to her. And she was part of a remnant of people who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem to come, meaning God had spoken to a few of these people that we referred to earlier, who God had told the Messiah was coming, and so they were waiting. And so on this particular day, she's in the temple doing what she normally does, and the Lord directs her, speaks to her, moves her to come to Joseph and Mary and Simeon at this very moment to recognize what was unfolding right before her. Amazing. But is it strange? Is this kind of weird that this is happening? And I think how we think about that makes a big difference in how we live, right? Because if we think this is weird that God's speaking to people, well, that doesn't happen very often, then we don't expect it. But it's pretty clear from the scripture that God is constantly speaking to us, to all of us. And that we are staying in the Word. We're people of the Word. We're encouraging us to read the Scripture on a daily basis because we expect God to be speaking to us. And the Word is a primary way he does that. You may remember John chapter 10, a passage where Jesus is talking about himself as the good shepherd and us as his sheep. And he refers to verses 3 and 4, especially the fact that his sheep follow him, not because they see him, not because they're tied to him, but because they hear his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice and follow me. So it was the Lord's expectation that we, his people, would be able to hear the voice of God so that we could follow him. And for many of us, I think it's largely a matter of learning to listen to the scripture. To listen with our hearts, with the Spirit in us, not just with our minds. We're good at the mind thing, but learning just to listen to what God is speaking through his word. But he's also speaking through others. He's speaking through creation. He's speaking through circumstances. He's speaking through impressions the Spirit gives us. He speaks in many, many ways, because he's God. He can speak however he wants to, right? But the thing I hear so many people say is, well, how do you hear God speak? I mean, how do you know it's God and not some of your own thoughts? Well, first of all, I would say if God himself wants to speak to me, I think learning to hear his voice is going to be my highest priority. Right? If the God of the universe says, I want to talk to you, I'm going to say, I'm going to figure out how that works. Because I want to talk to you. I want to hear your voice. So it begins with an expectation, a desire that, God, I want to learn to hear what you're saying to me. Because you're God and I have no life apart from you. And it begins with having those expectations. God is speaking and I can be listening to what he's saying to me. I liken it, maybe not so clearly, but the way we pay attention to our phones. Anyone pay attention to their phone? Why do you pay attention to your phone? Because you have expectations, don't you? You have expectations that there are going to be text messages and emails and Facebook posts and Instagram posts, and there is going to be communication coming through your phone, so you pay attention. You have the expectation, and you pay attention. And so in the same way, hearing begins with that expectation. He's speaking to us. I expect that, and so I'm going to be paying attention to what God might be saying to me. But then it's also learning to recognize the voice of God when the Spirit is speaking and how he speaks to us. I have a funny experience with this. Some of you know I moved into Dan's old office when I started. And the first few weeks or month or so, a number of people asked me, so is that beeping bothering you, the crosswalk there at Salisbury and Lindbergh? And the first number of times I said, didn't notice. What beeping? Well, enough people asked me that guess what?
I hear it.
All the time. Thank you. Now, what happened? I simply began to recognize the sound that it makes. Then I could hear it. Right? And it's the same with the voice of God. When we begin to recognize when God is speaking, which we will if we desire that, we will start to hear him speaking all the time. And it's better than a beeping crosswalk sound. So waiting and expecting to hear God's voice, that's where it begins. That's where Simeon and Anna were, which is just incredible, right? We're waiting to hear God's voice. Because second of all, we're also waiting for our next step on our journey with Christ. What's my next step? God needs to let me know what that is. Simeon was devout and righteous, it says, meaning he was devoted to serving God, to hearing God speak, and to doing what God says. That's all that meant. And so in seeking and following God like this, the Spirit reveals that he'll see the Messiah, so he begins to wait for that. But waiting for and listening to God was something he did on a daily basis. Waiting for what's the next step. If this is what's going to happen down the road, which not all of us get to hear what the final purpose God has for us, I want to know how do I get there. So he was devout and righteous. He was seeking God. He was trying to hear God. He was trying to act on what God was saying to him. So that on this day, Simeon was in the right place, as the right person, at the right time, because he of all the steps he had taken up to that moment. You see, sometimes we think those things just happen, right? I mean, if it was me, I'd just be walking through the temple, hey, what's going on? Thinking about dinner or something, and miss the whole thing. But he had been walking with God. He had been taking each step as God was directing him to lead him to this place at this time. And the next step for him was what? To give thanks to God. And then to prophesy over Mary and Joseph. After being widowed, Anna had devoted herself to knowing and serving God in the temple. Each day, waiting for God's redemption by listening to, seeking God, fasting, praying, serving. Which led to this day, again, in this place, to where she could recognize what was unfolding before her and participate in what God had for her in this step. And then it says, tells us what her next step in the journey was, and that was to go tell the rest of the people she knew, the remnant, who are waiting for the redemption of Israel, that it was happening. Simply following step by step what God had for her led her to this place and led her from this place. As some of you probably have asked, I've asked, been asked a number of times in these last 7 months, so why did you move to Indiana? Like, why did you, huh? Especially when it's cold. Why did you move here? Well, the short answer is because there is a ministry opportunity and I was called by the church and here I am. The very long answer is it started when I was in college and came to Christ through the Navigator ministry and was discipled. And it continued as I began to disciple others and go on staff with the Navigators and start making disciples. And then it continued as we moved into church ministry and we planted a church and then brought a dying church back to life. And then in San Francisco, the focus of our ministry came back to making disciples. And it was through that experience that God made it clear to me my next step was to make disciples with all of my life and all of my time. Thus, Riverside Covenant Church looking for an associate pastor of discipleship. Ding! So how did I get here? Well, it started back in 1980. Taking each step as best I could, and sometimes doing that very poorly, hearing God sometimes, sometimes not, taking the steps, but by His grace, leading me each step in the journey to where I am now. It's amazing. So we're waiting for the next step in our journey because our life with Christ is a daily journey, not a destination. That's eternal life, to live life with Christ. And God is speaking to us all the time because He wants to reveal our next steps to us. He wants to show us how we should be spending our time, how we should be living, the type of person we should be becoming. And I think the biggest lie we can believe is that this isn't true for me. Anyone think that? Well, yeah, that's great, but that doesn't really apply to me. And I would just appeal to you, the love of God demands that that is not true. Because if God loves you the way He loves you, if He was willing to give His own Son for you, do you think He wants you to be involved in what He's involved in? Of course. Do you think He wants to reveal to you His heart for you and His heart for your life? Do you think He wants to be directing your life and shaping your life and using you for eternal purposes? Of course. Having that expectation that God is going to show me my next step on the journey, maybe this morning while we're here. But I'd also say it doesn't just happen at church. I mean, how much are you at church? And how much are you not at church? And so do we think that, well, God only speaks during an hour and a half each week, and the rest of the week He's, I don't know, what? He's still speaking. He's always speaking. And so wherever we are, we're at work, we're at home, we're in our community, we're at the store, God is speaking. God is going to be unfolding the journey for you. Wherever you are, you'll be seeing, He'll be prompting you like Simeon and Anna. The Spirit is leading us daily on our journey with Him. It's an adventure, friends. It's an adventure. Paul describes it, I think, really well in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and verse 18 and verse 25. He talks about the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. That's what he's talking about, hearing God's voice, taking the next step, whatever that might be. That's awesome, isn't it? God is so good. So, sisters and brothers, what are you and I really waiting for? I think it's a huge, huge question for us because truly, what we're truly waiting for is what we're truly living for. That's the way it is. Are we waiting for the mission of God to unfold before us? If we are, we'll participate. So let's become people waiting expectantly for God's mission to unfold before us each and every day, together, individually, by listening to his voice and taking the next steps in our journey. Amen? Let's pray that God will help us with that. Father, it's an amazing story that we're a part of, that your kingdom has come, your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. And you are speaking to us and wanting to guide us step by step in our journey with you. And so we pray, Lord, that you'll give us eyes to see, that we will expect it, that we will pay attention to whatever step you take, even today, even this morning, if there's something you're speaking to us about. Lord, give us the courage and the power to take each step, knowing that it's leading us to fulfill our purpose and our part in your great commission. Lord, may it be true for us as a church as well, that we learn to hear your voice together and follow you together each step of the journey, that we can glorify you. We can bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ here in this place. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said,